What did God see in a teenage girl to make her highly favored? Right now, Mary was between 13 and 18, right? She could have been as young as 13 and as old as 18 when she got this announcement that she was going to bear the Messiah. And so there must have been something in Mary that God was able to see to say that I want this young lady to bear my son.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of the Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary.
We're continuing on with Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night. And our journey this morning brings us to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, as we review where we've been, the first week we looked at Joseph, and we looked at the deep thoughts that Joseph had. And the following week we looked at the shepherds and their deep thoughts. And last week we looked at the angels and the deep thoughts that the angels had. And so today we want to look at Mary. And like I said, I've been looking forward to studying this because I just wanted to know. And again, you know, as we think about the deep thoughts of Mary, you know, there are some things that we can draw from the scripture, and then there may be some other things that we kind of have to speculate on. But I believe that as we look at the scripture, we can make some good speculation about some of her thoughts. And so we see in Luke 2:19, the Bible says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." And as we go through the lesson today, there are two powerful words in there that I think give us a picture of what might have been going on within the heart of Mary. Now, before we get into the message today, I wanted to deal with some misconceptions about Mary. Some misconceptions, because some people have the wrong idea of who Mary was. And so we want to make sure that we understand this lady who has these deep thoughts. You know, there's one view that talks about the Immaculate Conception. And, you know, I used to think for the longest time that was talking about Jesus. But, you know, if you study that out in some faiths, you will find actually it was talking about Mary. And it was the teaching that Mary was born free from original sin. Now, what do we mean when we say original sin? Well, David said in Psalm 51, "In sin did my mother conceive me." And so what that means that all of us, everybody that has been born since Adam and Eve, have a sin nature. So nobody is free from that sin nature. But there's a view that says that Mary was born without a sin nature. Then there was there is the view of the perpetual virginity of Mary. And this says that Mary did not know a man when Jesus was born, and the rest of her life that she didn't know a man. And now, you know, this theory has a lot of deep problems because, you know, one, we know that Mary got married and her husband Joseph. And, you know, I don't think he might not have been down with that program right there. right? And then the Bible says that Jesus had brothers and sisters. So we know that Mary was not a perpetual virgin. And then there is what's called the Assumption of Mary. And this says that Mary went into heaven bodily, that she was taken into heaven just like Jesus was when he was resurrected from the grave, that she went into heaven bodily. But, you know, we believe that Mary died and was buried just like anybody else that have come into this world. If you go to the next slide, we see that there's another view that says that she was the queen of heaven, or she's the queen of heaven, and that when she arrived in heaven, she was given a special position, and she's able to dispense certain mercies and and graces, and she intercedes for people. Another misconception of who Mary was. And then there was the idea that Mary was the co-redeemer. And what does that mean? That means that, you know, right along with Jesus, that Mary is essential in redeeming people from their sin, in redeeming people unto the Lord. And we know that Jesus said, you know, he's the only way, the truth, the light. No one comes to the Father but by him. There's no co-redeemer with him, that Jesus stands alone as our redeemer. And then some people believe that Mary is the intercessor, and the fact that she is the mother of Jesus and the mother of God's children, and that she intercedes for all children, and that we should pray to Mary as our intercessor. But again, the Bible says that there's only one intercessor between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. So I wanted to kind of go through those misconceptions about Mary and get those straight. And let's look at, for a second, before we actually get into the text, what did God see in a teenage girl to make her highly favored? Right now, Mary was between 13 and 18, right? She could have been as young as 13 and as old as 18 when she got this announcement that she was going to bear the Messiah. And so there must have been something in Mary that God was able to see to say that I want this young lady to bear my son. Y'all often remember when I was growing up, we would play sandlot baseball or we'd play sandlot football. And, you know, one of the things that you always had to do was pick teams, right? And so we had different methods to find out who would go first in picking somebody. But, you know, you had guys lined up who just wanted to play, man. You know, we were out there and we wanted to play. And so somebody would say, okay, well, I got first pick, right? And they would always pick the worst guy. No, you would always pick, if it was basketball, the tallest, the most agile, the one who could, you know, we would call it hoop, right? If you were playing baseball, you would choose the guy that could hit and that could catch. If you were playing football, you would choose the guy who could be the quarterback and throw the ball. You chose the best. And I don't know what God's criteria was, but when God looked out on the earth and said that I want to find someone to bear my son, he chose Mary. He chose Mary. And so I went back and I began to look at the scriptures, and I was saying, well, what are some of the things that God might have seen in this teenage girl that would cause him to choose her? Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we want to read verses 48 and 49. And look at, this is called the Magnificat, and I'm going to say a little bit about that later. But look at verse 48, where Mary is talking about the fact that God chose her. She says, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." I mean, she was just overwhelmed at the fact that she was chosen, this handmaid of low estate. It says, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." This was her response. As we think about some deep thoughts on a holy night, you know, it had to be in there that Mary was thinking, man, I'm just a handmaid. You know, who am I that the Lord would choose me? Who am I that women from this generation on will say, blessed is this one? Man, she says, God is great and God is holy. And so as we look at, why did God choose her? Maybe this is, you know, I, again, you know, I don't know specifically. The Bible doesn't say specifically. All it says in Luke 1:28 and 1:30 is that she was highly favored. That's the only reason that we see that she was chosen. But why was she highly favored? You know, I'm sure that if she lived a life that was not pleasing to God, that she wouldn't have been highly favored. But she was highly favored. And so as we look at that, first of all, she was a godly individual. That she was one who honored God and did what it was that God told her to do. Secondly, she was virtuous. That means that she was pure. That she kept her life free as it was from the stain of sin. Again, she wasn't sinless, as some people would have us to believe, but she kept her life free from the stain of sin. She was obedient. She was obedient. Can you imagine if God came to some people and said that, you know, they were going to bear the birth of the Messiah? What you talking about? Who? What do you mean? And just go on and begin to hem-haw and find all kind of excuses why they couldn't. We see that the only thing that Mary says, how can I, who have never known a man, bear a child? And after the angel came back, that was it. She was all right with it. And she was able to move from that point. And I'm sure that in her mind, she's thinking, gotta tell Joseph. Gotta tell Joseph, right? And she was obedient even to the point where it could have cost her marriage to Joseph. She was a worshiper. In Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56, we have what's called the Magnificat. And that is where Mary magnifies and praises God. We're going to look at that a little later in the message. But she magnifies and praises God. She was humble. You know, who am I? This handmaiden of the Lord. That there was a humility in her where maybe some who would have been chosen, they might have, you know, stuck out their chests and raised their fists and say, look at me. Look at who I am. But Mary received it in humility. And then we know that she was reflective, that she thought about a lot of things, that she was meditative, that she was contemplative. And so I believe that it was one or a combination of these things that God looks down and God says, that's the lady that I want to bear the Messiah. Now, I want to focus in on a couple of words this morning as we get into the message. And the first word is ponder. Mary pondered. And you know, as I looked at this, And the two words jumped out me specifically that helped me to kind of put in mind maybe some of the things that she was thinking, if not some of the things that she was thinking, at least probably her thought process, right? Just from two words that we see in the text. And I believe that, you know, when they use specific words in the Greek language, that they represented specific things. And so the word ponder, she pondered these things in her heart, comes from the Greek word sambala. And you know what it means? You know what this word means? It comes from two Greek words. And it means to bring together in one's mind. And so what was Mary trying to do? She was trying to bring together all the things that had happened to her. That she was trying to piece it together in her mind, when it uses the word ponder. What were some of the things that she was trying to piece together? Well, there was the angel, Gabriel, that appeared. And he showed up and tells her that she's going to conceive a child. So she's got this, and I don't know if you have ever had one of these puzzles, right? 1,000-piece puzzle, 500-piece puzzle, but you sit there and you try to put the puzzle together. And what do you do? You know, you just don't throw the box up and the puzzle lands on the table and it's all together. But what do? You meticulously think through each piece. You pull a piece out and you say that this piece is the same color as that piece, that this piece looks like it might fit over here. And then you try to put that piece in there and it doesn't fit. So you pull it back and then you begin to look at other pieces. And you you know the process that you go through to have to put a puzzle together. And so Mary is meticulously going through the angel that shows up and tells me that I'm going to have a child. And then she thinks about her visit to her cousin, Elizabeth, and how that when she goes to visit Elizabeth, that the babe in Elizabeth's womb leaped, kicked her, right? And so she's, I got this over here, then I got this over here, and how does, this all fit together? And then there was the shepherds, right? Can you imagine that she's sitting there or lying there, whatever the case might be, and all of a sudden, these musty shepherds show up out of nowhere. She wasn't expecting them. And they came and they said, you know what? Now, the average person that they would talk to and tell this, they wouldn't even believe it. You know what? We were out in the field, and all of a sudden, an angel appeared to us. And man, we started shaking in our boots. And the angel said, fear not, and because I bring you good tidings of great joy. And then you know what those angels told me? The angels told me that there was a sky filled with the heavenly hosts. And they were singing glory to God in the highest and peace on those whom have received his favor. And they came and they told her that. Now, had that the first angel or Gabriel not appeared to Mary, she might have had a hard time when the shepherds came and told their story. I got this piece right here, right? I got this piece right here. Now how do these fit together? Now I got another piece that I got to try to fit in there somewhere. And then I believe a final piece is the fact that who am I that I should be the mother of the Lord? And that's another piece that she has to work with. And you know what? I'm not sure as she fit all the pieces together or not fit them together, as she pondered, which the word means to bring together the pieces in your mind, right? I'm not sure what conclusion that she came to, but I would have to think that one conclusion that she came to, my, this is no ordinary child. This is no ordinary child. And I have to believe that in her musings that evening, that she had to think about, who is? I like that one song that's called the Stupendous Stranger, right? Who is this stupendous stranger that lies before me? And so I believe that as Mary pondered that she came, even if she came to other conclusions, that this was one conclusion that she came to, this is no ordinary child. What were some of Mary's other musings as we look at that? What's the next word? So we see the word ponder, all right? The next word is kept. Little four-letter word that we find in the text. Little four-letter word in the text, kept. She kept these things in her heart. And I looked up that word, and that word is centereo. And I just began to look at the word pictures that were associated with this Greek word. The word pictures alone present a powerful picture of what was going on in Mary's mind, in Mary's heart. I looked up the etymology of the word, and it gave several different meanings. One meaning was to preserve from perishing, to conserve from ruin. And I thought, How does that work in what Mary was dealing with? You know, it deals with the idea of preserving documents. You know that when you have a document, you know, my wife has a football from Troy Polamalu, signed with his signature. So, you know, we're hoping that he goes into the Hall of Fame this year, right? Because that that ball is going to be worth some money. I was talking to some guys yesterday. We were talking about Troy maybe going into the Hall of Fame, and they were telling me that you need to go get a case and put that football in it, and that the case actually preserves the football. And I said, okay, check, got that. So that's the idea here with Mary, is that Mary wanted to preserve the things that she thought about that evening from ever leaving her mind. That as long as she lived on this earth, that whatever it was that she was contemplating, that she was thinking, that she wanted to preserve it so that it would not ruin or so that it would not perish. That these ideas and these thoughts and these realities, that they would not be corrupted, that they would not be tainted, but they would be pure in her mind and in her heart. The second meaning of this word, centereo, is to store, to keep. It says she kept these things. It means to store like you're storing a treasure. Like you have something valuable. Like you've got your diamonds and all your jewelry, and you put them in a box and you lock it up and you keep it. You put it there to store it. That it meant so much to her. That the things that she pondered, that they meant so much to her, that she stored it away in her heart at a place that she could always go back and visit. And then I like the third word picture. It's to watch over or to keep safe. And it's like guarding a valuable document, guarding something that's valuable. That Mary had received these thoughts, these musings, and she put them in her heart and she guarded them. In no way, Jose, was she ever going to let anything take those thoughts from her. So can you imagine all of her life that Mary has this treasure? She has this document. She has something to keep safe as she journeyed through all of her life. And you know, I believe when it came in most valuable, can you imagine that when she was standing at the when she was standing at the cross, watching her son die. How many mothers here would want to stand and watch your son die? Just watch him and see people ridiculing him and seeing him being abused, but you stand there and you watch him die. You watch him bow his head. You watch him give up the ghost. And Mary pondered all these things. Wow. She pondered all these things in her heart. She treasured them in her heart. And I would have to believe that as she saw her son dying on a cross, that she went back to that holy night in Bethlehem. And she began, if you go back to that slide before, she had to say, as hurt as she was, as broke as she was, that she realized this was no ordinary child. This was no ordinary man. This was no ordinary son. As she treasured him.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Deep Thoughts on a Holy Night, Mary. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. If your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and all of your staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be.